This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And we start with Bob Mann, the Louisiana Political Hall of Famer, longtime Politico in our state, and of course, a professor of note at Louisiana State University in the Manship School of Mass Communication. And before we get going with Bob, we want to remind our listeners that today is $5 Friday. We're encouraging you to sign up as a sustaining member or for $5 a month, at $5 a month, and we'll send you the WRKF socks. And sustaining membership is convenient. It continues until you tell us otherwise, so you always know you're doing your part to help create a space for programs like this one, Talk Louisiana. Easy on the budget, and you'll be doing a good deed for WRKF, which is approaching its 40th anniversary. The number is 855-893-9753 to make your contribution. And we thank some folks who came in under the wire yesterday as we were going off the air. Patricia for renewing her membership, and also her father, Tom. 855-893-9753. Last night provided the first big debate of the gubernatorial season, and folks, we're getting close. The election is 3 weeks from tomorrow. So we're 22 days out, and Governor John Bel Edwards took fire from two opponents, Ralph Abraham and Eddie Rasponi. He also will be at the Baton Rouge Press Club on Monday, and the other candidates are expected to be there. And Bob Mann, how do you think the governor fared?
Well, I think he did pretty well because the format of the debate, which I thought was lacking, did not really allow for a lot of interaction between the two candidates. He took some hits from his opponents, particularly Ralph Abraham, but it really was a debate that didn't create any sparks, and Edwards did not, he certainly didn't flub anything, and he was not really the subject of sustained attacks by either on any subject. From, you know, the debate only allowed, you know, 60 seconds or 2 minutes most on any topic, so there never really was time for anybody to get a head of steam on attacking him. So I think he came out pretty well, and you have to say he went in hoping just to survive, and he did more than that.
And he had two against one, and yeah. some candidates won't do this. I remember Jimmy Carter, much to his chagrin, refused to debate Ronald Reagan and John Anderson in 1980, and Anderson was a third-party candidate of note. And then ultimately he got one debate head-on with Reagan, and it was a disaster. So in one respect, it doesn't elevate either of the two Republicans to a place as high as the governorship, but in the other, they get two-thirds of the time. So is that a format that is good or bad for the incumbent?
Well, I'll have to see how these next two debates go, because when Edwards first agreed to do these debates, I thought that might be a mistake to elevate these guys. What I'm looking for is, before it's over with, does it devolve into something like what we saw in 2015, where the Republicans spend more time attacking each other than the Democrat, which helped Edwards in 2015, and before it's over with, might help him again. They're already doing it on television and in the media. They didn't do it last night in the debate, but I think that had more to do with the format than Rasponi and Abraham's willingness to go after each other.
Well, there is another debate Monday at the Baton Rouge Press Club, and then there will be two others after that. So Governor Edwards has agreed four times to go toe-to-toe with his chief opponents, and sometimes, not so long ago, candidates declined to debate others. Richard Nixon never debated Hubert Humphrey or George McGovern or anybody else after losing to John Kennedy so decidedly in the 1960 debates. And as we segue to the election next year, Donald Trump has no obligation to debate any Democratic challenger. I suspect his ego will be such that he will do it, but I've talked to some politicos who said he would be better off not doing it, Bob.
Yeah, and I think that there's a good chance that Trump won't participate in the debates. You're right, his ego may force him to do it, but I think that that it's also very likely that you know, he is an unconventional person, so it's very likely that he just says, no, I'm not doing this. There's nothing in it for me, which there probably isn't, and he just decides not to do it. I think that's a distinct possibility.
Well, Bob Mann is out and about. The official release of his book about Ronald Reagan is October 1st, and other than Lou Cannon, there really has not been an author who has captured Reagan, and Lou Cannon's been gone for a while. And Ronald Reagan is a mysterious fellow, hard to write about, as the Pulitzer Prize winner Edmund Morris found out. How's that project been, Bob?
Well, it's been it really was eye-opening for me. I devote this book to his early career before he ran for governor of California, how he got to the point of being a conservative icon, having been this Hollywood liberal labor leader, and it is a part of Reagan's life that doesn't get a lot of ink in these biographies, maybe a chapter or two, and I thought it deserved more attention. And I learned a lot that surprised me about Reagan. I learned to like Reagan a lot more than I did before I went into it, and it's a part of his life that I think really does help you understand Reagan the president, even though the book is not about Reagan the president, but it really helps you understand who he was.
I recall President Obama stating that Ronald Reagan would be rolling over in his grave over how Donald Trump, and this is Obama talking, coddled Vladimir Putin and other tyrants. Reagan was not a fan of these two-bit dictators, was he?
No, Reagan was, you know, not, a lot of what people think about Reagan is that he was opposed to communism, and he certainly was, and that was even when he was a labor leader, he was fighting communism in Hollywood. But what really was at the core of Reagan's ideology was totalitarianism and his opposition to that, and authoritarian governments. And you know, he would not have liked Vladimir Putin any more than he liked liked the Soviet leaders of the 50s and 60s.
Well, today, front page story in the New York Times. It's a story that was broken by the Washington Post, and it has not gained the traction yet that some might have thought, because it is an explosive story. Whistleblower sets off battle involving Trump. A potentially explosive complaint by a whistleblower in the intelligence community said to involve President Trump emerged on Thursday as the latest front in a continuing oversight dispute between administration officials and House Democrats. The complaint touched off speculation about its allegations, which remain shrouded in mystery. It involves at least one instance of Mr. Trump making an unspecified commitment to a foreign leader and includes other actions, and according to interviews, at least part of the allegation deals with Ukraine. Two people familiar with it said, this is reporting by the New York Times. And the president responded by saying he would not do anything to imperil America, saying, I would only do what is right and do what is good for the USA. That was a Twitter feed from the President of the United States. Once again, it's hard to imagine Ronald Reagan getting involved in something like this. But what do you think about this? Is this a story, or is this another effort to discredit the president?
You know, I think this could be the biggest, end up being the biggest story of the of the biggest scandal of the Trump administration. If he was as seems possible, talking to a foreign leader and trying to use leverage to persuade that leader to get him to interfere in the 2020 election. That's the Russia story all over again for 2020. And if he's on tape or there's a witness to him directly asking Ukraine to get involved in this election, I don't see how Congress cannot move immediately to begin to impeach him, because that's about as bad as it gets. That is about as bad as it gets. Now, we don't know what he did. We do not know what he did. But if you saw Giuliani last night on CNN, he told Chris Cuomo that pretty much that's what they were doing.
877-217-5757. Chuck and Scott on the air with Bob Mann. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Chuck.
Hi. The common denominator with Reagan, Trump, and the Democratic candidates is age. And Jimmy Carter yesterday made a statement that he thought that there should be an age limit on presidents. And I'm just wondering, one, is there any evidence that Reagan was moving into his dementia stage while he was president? And what do you think about the current crop, including Trump, at, in their advanced ages?
We have an age limit on the front end, 35, but no age limit on the back end. And right now the four major candidates for president are all over 70. Bob, is that an issue?
Well, you know, Reagan was a relative spring chicken compared to some of these people, Biden and Trump. You know, I'm a little hesitant to say we ought to have an age limit on the president, but I do think we ought to pay attention to what they say and how they say it and how they appear, how engaged they appear. I do think it's fair to question their mental capacity and their ability to do the job.
All right, hold tight. We're going to spend a few more minutes with Bob Mann. Your number is 877-217-5757. More Talk Louisiana on WRKF after this 90-second timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. And remember, it's the Fall Member Fest time. We don't do this often, but we need your support, and we'd like to hear from you. 855-893-9753 is the number for WRKF to provide your contribution. You haven't done it ever before, this is the time to do it. And if you're a longtime member, we'd like to hear from you again. 855-893-9753. We're continuing a few more minutes with Bob Mann, the Manship School professor of note and a political Hall of Famer in Louisiana and a noted author who will be back October 1st officially with his biography about Ronald Wilson Reagan, the 40th United States president. John calling from Florida Boulevard. John, you're on the air with Bob. Hi, John.
Oh, thank you for allowing me to call. Just wanted to say something. If you all know his first cousin that lives in Louisiana, David Duke.
What about David Duke?
He's Trump's first cousin.
Whose first cousin? Trump's?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think they're related by blood, but it's a facetious statement. But David Duke, his message of 1990 and 91 has been embraced by many in the mainstream political spectrum, Bob.
Yeah, Duke is a fan of Donald Trump, to, I think, Trump and the Republicans' embarrassment. But every few months, Duke is out there supporting something that Trump is doing. So Trump is attracting some really stellar support there.
Now, Bob, in 2008, Tim Russert died, and one of the great tragedies was that this fine journalist did not see Obama elected president in a race for the ages. And 2020 is going to be quite an election, and we lost Cokie Roberts. And of course, she was a great lady, a treasure to Louisiana, and a fine journalist. But I know she would have loved that 2020 campaign.
Oh, yeah. Boy, would she have ever loved that. And it's just such a loss. What an amazing talent. What an amazing person. What a spirit. Just a really decent person. And we saw, you know, I saw firsthand how much time she had for people who just wanted to talk to her and get a little knowledge. She spent some great time with my students when she was in Baton Rouge a few years ago. Just a really lovely person and a great reporter, and we really will miss her coverage in 2020.
Well, we'll talk with Bob, if things go according to plan, very soon about his book, which will officially be out October 1, about Ronald Wilson Reagan. Congrats, Bob, and see you soon.
Thank you, Jim.
And again, we'd like to hear from you. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and we have a lot of underwriters like this who do great work for us, but it is membership that is the biggest source of contributions to this station. And today is $5 Friday. We want you to sign up as a sustaining member for $5 a month, and you'll get the WRKF socks. And if remember, the number is 855-893-9753.